When he was a minister at the Methodist Church in Scarborough, William Sangster told the story about an eccentric member he had as part of his congregation. This man was a very zealous Christian, a passionate person, but unfortunately he often expressed his passion in some rather unhelpful ways. While he was working as a barber, he lathered up a customer for a shave and came at him with the open razor and asked, "Are you prepared to meet your God?" It's not a really helpful way to ask that particular question, although the words themselves may have been quite typical of the time. The question might have been quite appropriate if he hadn't have been wielding a lethal weapon at the time. But the story ends with the frightened man running away with the lather on his face. He didn't even stop to clean up. He exited pretty quickly. A passion for God and for the things of God is a recurrent theme in the Bible. It's this zeal shown in utter commitment to God's holy law and God's temple and the purity and the righteousness of his people, which was the foundation of Paul's own zealous activity in persecuting the church. Paul, you see, knew his inheritance, and he knew particularly the key examples of where zeal for God had been celebrated by Israel, and he was keen in his own way to aspire to that, to show zeal for God in the ways that he felt he was able to do that. He believed, of course, that he was defending the honour of God until his experience on the way to Damascus changed everything. Jesus' own passionate ministry was revealed in a number of ways, but there are very few occasions where that zeal was translated into confrontational and physical remonstration, which could easily have been interpreted as aggression. Finding the temple courts filled with traders looking to make money would probably not have surprised Jesus, but his reaction did take them by surprise. It's often pointed out that it may well have been this blatant profiteering, the trading for profit, that upset him. Although the fact that his disciples were reminded of the quotation from Psalm 69, "Zeal for your house will consume me," was a clear reference to the fact that they were seeing this because the psalmist in his day was very concerned for the abusive practices that were carried out in and around the temple courts. And so they interpreted Jesus' actions as a zeal for defending the honour of God rather than simply a question of overturning the profit makers' stools. But either way, we don't know. But Jesus was absolutely clear in his actions that the honour of God was at stake and must be defended. The question is, how? How do we defend the honour of God? John, who witnessed the temple incident and much later received a vision warning those churches which had become lukewarm in their Christian commitment, clearly believed that it was necessary to include an account of this temple incident in his gospel. Remember, this was the evangelist who said at the end of his gospel that there were so many stories, so much that he could have included, more that could have been said about Jesus, but what he had written had been written so that all who read it would find life in his name, so that you may believe and have life in his name. So again, how are we to display zeal? Society has little time or patience with zeal. I think we pick that up quite clearly. It's seen as fanaticism, the response of people who pursue a belief or a cause too far, whose absolute conviction overrides the good and even the safety of others. We've already prayed for the people who have been bereaved in New Zealand. Just short of 50 killed and many more wounded as a result of the fanaticism and the beliefs of one individual. And this has been repeated, as we know only too well, so many times over the last years. Christians cannot act or speak zealously to the detriment of the values of God. That much is clear We are to uphold the values of God. Therefore, our zeal has to be channeled and applied in the right way. There must be a godly integrity about our behaviour, where absolute commitment honours the God of love, reconciliation and healing, rather than dishonouring him through acts of confrontation and aggression. The Bible shows us how deep passion for God is meant to be channeled in fruitful and sanctified ways, how the honour of God must be defended, sometimes at the expense of a law which contradicts God's law, it has to be said. Before Christ, people only had the law to observe and the words of the prophets to remember. Ancient laws dictating patterns of behaviour and corrective prophecy. How could that be enough to inspire devotion? But it was for some. Just read Psalm 19 to see how much David had fallen in love with God's law. Not because it was a matter of sticking to rules and he loved rules, but because keeping them was the best way of expressing his passion and his zeal for the person of God. Such people were still around when Jesus was born. We read early on in Luke's Gospel of the prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We read that, trying to find it and actually read it, I'm getting long-sighted with age. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he went, moved by the Spirit, to the temple courts. And when the child was brought in, the child Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God with a zealous prayer. This was wonderful. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory of your people Israel. That expressed Simeon's zeal for God. And similarly, the prophetess Anna. Anna was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and it tells us a bit about her personal history. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, until she too saw the sign of God's salvation actually coming in the form of a human baby. And that was wonderful, a human child. That was wonderful. Those were zealous people who kept the faith, even in times of distraction. At Pentecost, of course, the Holy Spirit inspired such zeal in Jesus' followers that they were prepared to suffer any consequences in order to emulate their Saviour. How did this zeal show itself? Simply by holding their knowledge of Christ, his holiness and his goodness as their example, their sole focus in their lives. His work became their work, his purpose their purpose, his nature became their nature. The zeal of Saul the Pharisee for the reputation of God became for him a passion to be like Jesus, to be in Christ. I love that phrase. I use it often. In Christ. It means that we're aiming to be, actually not just looking at a model which is unachievable, but actually within the Spirit, acting, believing, speaking as in the Spirit of Christ. Some people today recall full churches and ask, where are the people? Perhaps God turns to the lukewarm church and says, where is your zeal? The simple logic of all of this is that those who attend church cannot be passionate about a Jesus they don't know. When we do know him, when our relationship with him is fed by Bible learning and prayer and worship, and by the practice of being Christ to one another and to the world, then we shall always find that our zeal for God grows and is correctly channeled, that our hunger to know him more grows, and that as a consequence, we become more fruitful and more fulfilled in our ministry. God blesses those who aim to be in Christ and those who want to be passionate for more of Christ and less of self. Amen.